Advent is inviting us. What's that? Great, right? But I have so much on my calendar already. What exactly is Advent inviting me to? A recalibration, a reset, a reimagining, a reorientation. Beautiful. A recalibration, reset, reimagining, reorientation of what exactly? Of our direction, pace, and practices. Your direction, pace, and practices. My direction, pace, and practices. And our direction, pace, and practices as a congregation and a community. The first reading from Isaiah is an invitation in at least two ways. An invitation to give an invitation, for one. Tell all those far from home and disconnected from their deepest selves that God says, it's enough. They have suffered enough, been away long enough, felt abandoned long enough. Come on home. There's no need to stay in a place of exile any longer on God's account. Everyone is invited to come home and find their home in the heart of God. The second aspect of God's invitation through Isaiah's words is help set the table, the welcome table. It's good work if you're up for it. Sometimes it's hard work and messy, but so worth it. Be a part of clearing everything out of the way and making the way for people to find their way home to the heart of God. A highway, a beeline, a spiritual autobahn. Cross the desert, enter the oasis. Life is arbitrary. God is not. It's enough. Change your direction. Find a sustainable pace. Come home. John the Baptizer accepts Isaiah's invitation in both senses. He announces God's invitation, and he helps set the welcome table. He gets on board with holy highway construction. He reminds his own folks of what has been true from the foundation of the world. God loves the world and cares for all its creatures. John the Baptizer reminds them and reminds us that having the answers isn't much use if you've forgotten to live the questions. And John seems to understand in a deep way that the best way to get people to recalibrate direction and reset pace is to draw attention to their practices. He takes something familiar, the ritual mikveh, bath, common in Jewish practice then and now, and relocates it to a flowing river in the wilderness. And not just any river, but the river that marks the boundary between the wilderness and the promised land. He wades into that boundary water and invites others not only to get their feet wet, but also to immerse themselves completely in a fresh way of living the questions. John emphasizes doing familiar things in unexpected places and unusual things in familiar places. It helps draw attention. It helps create interest. He chooses unusual clothing. I myself wear a leather belt around my waist, at least on Sundays, but I don't know about you, but I'm not planning on wearing any camel's hair unless it's a camel hair coat, which clearly I do not need living here. Thank you. Somebody laughed. All right. He chooses an insect-oriented diet of bugs and things produced by bugs. He eats locusts, one of the things that literally plagued Egypt and liberated his ancestors and ours from slavery. And he uses locust protein power for proclamation of good news. He eats wild honey near the river that marked the entrance to the promised land, which God said would be flowing with milk and honey. John understands that God is doing a new thing in an old way and an old thing, eternal thing, in a fresh way. 20 centuries later, what he is doing may seem old to us. We hear about it every year on the second and third Sundays of Advent. But can we hear it anew and afresh this time around? What are you being called to do that is very familiar to you in a different location or among different folks? What are we collectively being called to do that is very familiar to us in different than usual places? My mind goes to the day that is coming and not too far off, when the front porches of Kippany House will be restored and I can officiate jazz evensong on a Sunday afternoon. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or at last some employees say, "Padre, we would really like the sacrament, but we have to work on Sunday. Could you come to our workplace and celebrate the Eucharist before we go on shift?" And I would say, "What time?" What is God allowing you to imagine trying that is unfamiliar to you in the familiar space of your home or this place or this parish of Key West and the Lower Keys? What is God giving to our collective imagination to do that is less familiar here? I have some ideas. I'm only going to talk about one. If you'll wait just a moment, I'll be right back. Taking a cue from John the Baptizer, I'm going to wear something different, rather familiar, but in an appropriate liturgical color for the season. Just think of me as Advent Claus. And I'm here to tell you that a familiar thing elsewhere that's not been so familiar here is pledged giving. Our numbers swell to 300% of summer's attendance in the high season. And that's awesome. And many of you have parishes elsewhere that you also call home when you have the good sense to leave here in the summer, and some of the rest of us stay. And that's also awesome. What's not been very common around here is people making annual pledges and giving increments of dollars throughout the year. We really need that because we have to pay the light bills and all that, and they think they have to pay me, and really, we appreciate it. So those costs are ongoing. And if more people will pledge, that will really help us as we're preparing the last stages of the budget. Now, public TV and public radio have nothing on St. Paul's. We have some premiums on offer. People who pledge using the handy online form, which is available on the website and in the most recent edition of the epistle, and will be there again. If you pledge, you will get a parking decal bearing the arms of St. Paul's, which entitles you to park without towing nearly any time in this very convenient parking lot, giving preference, of course, to those whose activities are on the parish calendar. And in addition to a parking permit, pledgers will also be presented with a St. Paul's Parish patch. I worked hard to get all those P's into those last couple of sentences. Y'all are really, what's going on? I'm asking for money, but money is value neutral, and there's plenty of it. God is a God of abundance. We just want to regularize giving so that we don't reach those points of thinking, are we going to be able to do this month? That really only happens in the summer. So if we have ongoing income, that's super, super helpful. I'm available for questions, but no one is allowed to sit on my lap. Safe church all day, every day. And now, the rest of the story. A few weeks ago, we were reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. It's the earliest of Paul's letters that we have. He might have written others that were older. 1 Thessalonians is the oldest one that we have. And then today, in the way that only Advent can change things up and flip things upside down, we have a reading from the second letter of Peter, the latest or newest, depending on how you look at it, of the 27 books of the New Testament. The vision of the last part of this reading is an outlier in Scripture. Most of Scripture, including the New Testament, envisions a new heaven and a new earth, a restored heaven and restored earth, not the destruction of the world as we know it. The end of this passage reflects how, at least a century after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, some Christians had appropriated the teaching of the Stoics concerning a great world-ending conflagration when everything is dissolved. So yes, that view is at the end of our reading today, and it's mostly only here that people get their doom and gloom theology. But as I close, I want to draw your attention to the beginning of this reading from 2 Peter. With God, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. Time is a human construct. God has more than all the time in the world. God is not bound at all by time. God exists before time, beyond time, out of time. And yet God has the world and God's care. This is the atemporality of God. Eternity has nothing to do with time. And yet God cares for us and loves us in our time-bound, time-ordered, time-crunched life. As all of us, spiritual beings having a human experience, tend to live. But God is neither time-bound, nor time-ordered, nor time-crunched regarding clock time. God is about the fullness of time, due time, right time. And God is inviting all of us through Advent, saying, it's time. Come home. Rest. After the sermon, it's our custom to keep silence. In Advent, we keep a longer silence. Rest in this holy space for a few moments this morning. You have enough. You do enough. You are enough. God is present, and God loves you. Be at home. Amen.